This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Do you want to set your child up for success? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback.
Well, I know with Eleanor, when she was struggling so much with math, if she had been able to do online learning at home, she would have been much better able to keep up with class, and that would have just made the whole situation much easier for her. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Happier listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/happier. Visit IXL.com/happier to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast that gives you strategies and tips for how to build happier habits into your daily life. This week, we'll talk about why we should consider our possessions and ask ourselves, do I use it? Do I need it? Do I love it? And we'll discuss some listeners' answers to the listener question, how do I encourage my rebel coworker to read his important work-related emails? I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. Yes, I am in my home office right here in New York City. And joining me today from LA is my sister, Elizabeth Kraft. And Elizabeth, right now I'm wearing a t-shirt that you gave me, a happiness t-shirt that I both use and love. I will take a picture and send it to you and I will post it in the show notes.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA. And Gretch, you know I love scouring the internet for a good t-shirt.
You like a theme.
Yes.
Yes. So before we launch in, happy Easter to everyone who's celebrating Easter, which is coming up. And Elizabeth, you have some exciting news.
Yes, Gretch. I'll be spending Easter in Puerto Rico. I am leaving very soon. We bought one-way tickets. I don't even know when I'm coming back. So I'll be there. I'll be podcasting from Puerto Rico. So I'll tell you all about it.
And what kind of days do you have there? Is it just every waking hour you'll be doing something related to the show, probably?
A lot of the time, yeah. I'm sure we'll have some days off, hopefully on weekends. But yeah, it's going to be pretty intense, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to it. Of course, I'm going to miss Adam and Jack. I don't know when they're coming. Hopefully they're going to come at some point. It's all very up in the air, but I'm just sort of embracing the change and I'm just going to dive in and just live Fantasy Island.
Right. Enjoy the process, as our father always says. And when are we going to see like episode one of Fantasy Island about?
I think in August.
All right.
So it's not that far off.
That's not that far off. Oh, exciting. Well, you'll keep us posted.
Oh, yes.
From Puerto Rico. This week, our Try This at Home, still related to the spring cleaning because it's that time of year. And I think a lot of people get the itch to clear out clutter when the weather is changing. This week, our Try This at Home tip is to ask yourself when you're considering what to do with a possession, if you're thinking, should I keep it or not? Ask yourself, do I use it? Do I need it? Do I love it?
And this question comes up, Gretch, all the time. It can be very hard to make these decisions of what to give away, what to discard or donate.
Recycle.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so these three questions, I think, really cover everything that you would want to keep. So first is, do you use it? So do you use it as like, I use this can opener, I use this folder. You know, Marie Kondo says that everything should spark joy. To me, that's kind of a high bar. There's a lot of things I use regularly. And I wouldn't say that I love them or that they spark joy, or they're like the nicest pair of scissors a person could have, but it's a pair of scissors that I have and I use it and they're fine. So I just let them do their little job.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need it? There are certain things where when you need it, you need it. And it's great to have it. So like, Elizabeth, you live in Los Angeles. It's not often that you need long underwear, but every so often, it's like every other year we go to Kansas City for Christmas. This is the year. They're having like historically cold winter. I'm going to take my long underwear. And so then you have it and it's nice. You don't need it all the time. Years could go by, but you actually do need it. And then there are things we just love. Like there are some things I can't, you know, I have this set of postcards, the Magic Eye postcards, you know, those, it looks like a sheet of dots, but when you hold it up to your face, just right, like an image pops out. And I mean, I've had this thing for such a long time and I never send the postcards, but every once in a while I pull it out of the drawer and I'm like, I just do it again and I have fun with it. I'm like, I just love it. So I think I have room for that kind of thing within reason.
Yes.
So it's, do you use it? Do you need it? Do you love it?
Yeah. And one thing, Gretchen, is some people talk about like, oh, if you haven't used it in a year, you don't need it. But as you said, there are things that you might not use for years, but when you need them, you need them. Like I have all this Thanksgiving sort of stuff. Well, I host Thanksgiving. I mean, I've only hosted it once, but I assume I'll host it again someday. And so I have my cabinet where I have the things for Thanksgiving.
Well, this is the tricky part. I mean, and I think you put your finger on a place where it can get kind of ambiguous and you can hang on to a lot of things. Like maybe one day I will need it. You really want to be thinking, is this something that you have used it in the past and you can really foresee a reason to use it? Because otherwise it's sort of a justification. Oh, I have 50 mason jars, but one day I could need them.
Right.
I think you need to be honest. Like, are you realistically going to do it? And how much space is it taking up? There's this interesting term that I learned in this really interesting book by Daniel McGinn called House Lust. It's a term, the maximum use imperative, to describe the fact that people will often buy something to accommodate a use that they need only rarely. So you're sort of like, oh, I need a dining room table big enough for that Thanksgiving dinner when I have 25 people. But that happens extremely rarely. So you don't need to buy for the maximum use. You can buy for more everyday use. So I think you do want to think about, you don't want to be prepared for every possible situation that could ever arise. You want it to be something that is realistically going to be something that you're going to need.
Yes. Although I do think, Gretchen, it's because those things seem like important occasions, people are more drawn to them, right?
Yes. Well, and it's one thing to have some Thanksgiving decorations. Another thing to have an entire pantry full of camping equipment that you haven't used in 10 years, but you're like, well, one day I might decide to go camping. It's like, are you really going to decide to go camping? And you want to say, like, if you were going to go camping, would you want to use these things? Because sometimes we hang on to things. I've done this.
Yeah.
You hang on to things forever. And then when it's actually time to use it, you're like, oh, this one isn't good enough, or this one is out of date, or this one doesn't work anymore. You know what I mean? You want to like, are these things realistically going to be used?
Yes. Like you can have a giant metal bowl that is very practical, very useful. But if you're never going to use it because you have other bowls you like better, there's no reason to keep it.
Yeah. Thinking I could use this is not the same thing as saying I do use this, or I might need this is not the same thing as I do need this. Like if I said to you, do you need long underwear? You'd be like, yeah, I need long underwear. Because from time to time, like when you were shooting in Hungary, you had Arctic level gear that you desperately needed. And I think another place that this comes up is like the fantasy self, you know, and again, this is like the camping. I have this fantasy self where I'm going to do yoga. I have this fantasy self where I'm going to get back into tennis. And so I'm going to keep all this equipment around for what I think I need. But then that ends up taking up a lot of space. And it's also ties you to an identity that isn't real. And that can be draining.
Yeah, I think that's tricky. That's where it gets into the like things I love. Because like I do have some fantasy self items, like a purse that I may never use again.
Yes.
But like, I just love having it and looking at it and thinking of my fantasy self. So
yes,
I think there's a balance there.
So I think that's a great distinction, though. You truly love it. And when you look at it, it brings you, it does spark joy.
Yes.
But then there are things where you're like, it kind of makes me feel bad when I see it because it just reminds me of all the yoga I'm not doing on that yoga mat.
Right.
That you don't love.
Right.
And then there's another thing is like, when you're thinking about, do I need it? Part of it is like, how many of an item do you need? We've talked about this before. It's easy to stockpile things accidentally. For us, it's water bottles. We turn around, it's like all of a sudden we have 10 water bottles. How does this happen? I do not know. Mm-hmm. But we don't need 10 water bottles. So give the other ones away. So you might need something, but do you need this many of something? Because if you don't, you want to give the others away to people who really do need them.
Yeah, you know, Gretch, my epic mug collection. Definitely, it's like, I should not, if I don't love a mug or it doesn't mean something, I should not keep it.
Yes, you have so many mugs that you honestly treasure. Why would you keep a mediocre mug?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's hard to put them away in your cabinet, I will say. Yeah, so I think saying, even if I need these things, how many do I need? And let me just distill it down to the ones that I like best and that work the best. And then I have a better experience too.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and Gretch, for people who want to read more about like their possessions and their home and what to do with them and how to think about them, I have to suggest they read Happier at Home, which is my favorite of your books.
I know. That's
I love it so much. And it talks a lot about this kind of thing.
Yeah, Outer Order, Inner Calm talks specifically about like clutter clearing, but Happier at Home is really more about possessions in the context of happiness generally. So it sort of takes a more transcendent view. So let us know if you do try this at home and how that test, asking yourself, do I need it? Do I use it? Do I love it? Works for you. Let us know on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Drop us an email at podcast@gretchenrubin.com. Or as always, you can go to the show notes for this episode. It's happiercast.com/319 for everything related to this episode.
Coming up, we've got an April Fool's happiness hack, but first this break.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and free. And, you know, Elizabeth, I now work with a team, and hiring the right people is so important. It's maybe the most important thing. And LinkedIn makes the process of identifying and hiring people easy and intuitive. I know that when I've been hiring for my team, it's hard to find quality candidates to interview. And LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn.
Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe without spending a fortune, and luckily I found Quince. Elizabeth, I got the Flowknit wide leg pant. It's very light. It's perfect for the summer. It packs very easily. I recently went on a trip with my family, and I took it with me, and they were just the thing to wear on a really hot day where I wanted to be covered up, but I wanted something that looked great and also was very comfortable.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Gretchen for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Gretchen to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Gretchen. Okay, Gretch, it is time for this week's happiness hack. And we are reminding everyone that tomorrow is April Fool's Day.
Yes, this is the hack. The hack is, hey, we're reminding you that tomorrow's April Fool's, because so often people are like, oh, I forgot. I wanted to plan something fun, because this is just like, talk about whimsy, talk about a minor holiday. I think April Fool is just fun. You can find a fun, silly thing to do to a friend, to a family member, and it just lightens people's day.
And you had some easy things that you've done in the past.
Yes, I'm a fan of the easy ones. So one thing is, if anybody in your family eats cereal with milk or drinks milk, if you put it in the freezer the night before, it will freeze. And so, like, if there's a bowl with cereal in it and a spoon and the milk, it'll pick it up, the spoon, and the whole thing will come up. I did this to Eliza 1 year. Hilarious. I'm a huge fan of using food dye. I think everybody needs to have a lot of food dye and use it at all times. There's so much bang for the buck with food dye. One time I dyed a carton of milk green. And again, Eliza poured it out, and boy, she was not happy. She did not understand what had happened. Another fun way to do it is if you get gel food dye, if you take a Q-tip and put the gel food dye and put it on the inside of a bathroom faucet, it will, the water will turn colors when it comes out. That's pretty funny. I did that to Eleanor. Yeah.
And then the gelling joke.
Yes, this I just got. I haven't done this yet. I hope no family member hears this podcast before I do it. Allegedly, the gelling joke, I'll post a link to it. It instantly transforms someone's beverage into a totally non-edible sludge. So I just read about it and decided to give it a try. So I will report back on whether it actually works, because it sounds like it would be pretty funny.
And then, Gretch, there's also the other kind of prank, which is the prank announcement.
Yes.
When but you have to be able to pull it off. You have to have conviction. Like, Dad did this to me when I was little. He came running into the room. Elizabeth, you're late for school. School started.
No, this was high school, too, where it was, like, elaborate, like, prinking and primping and getting ready and changing of outfits. And so this is no light announcement.
Oh, and I just sprang out of bed screaming. And then he said April Fools. And I was like, oh my God, it was, he really got me. He really was committed. That's the thing.
He committed to the bit.
He really, because he seemed upset.
Oh, I mean, the vision of you really like springing up with your hands and feet motoring in the air and yelling. I mean, it was hilarious. So that's the prank announcement. I'm too soft-hearted and I start laughing. I can't pull off a prank announcement, but it can be, it's a very low, you don't need to have any stuff. You just have to have a notion. Okay, four tendencies tip this week, because in episode 316, we talked about a question from a listener who works with a rebel teacher who refuses to read his work emails from school. And this is a problem, the listener said, because at their school, there's a lot of crucial information communicated by email. So like about photo day and field trips, et cetera. So the question was, what can you do to encourage a rebel colleague to read emails? And so we got very thought-provoking responses. And interesting, almost everyone who responded was themselves a rebel. So this is by rebels for rebels.
Yes. Who better to offer solutions than a fellow rebel?
Yes. Who better? Yes.
Robin said, as a rebel, I had two immediate thoughts. One, his consequences need to be upped. Right now, what the listener thinks is a consequence obviously isn't a big enough one for the rebel. The best habits I've made have come at pretty extreme for me costs. He must value teaching for some reason, so take that reason away if he doesn't follow the rules. Yes, it seems harsh, but we learn best this way. Two, rebels like to do things our own way and love it when lines get a little blurry. Can the listener change the teacher's email to his personal email instead of the work one? It's a simple switch, and if he checks that instead of work, then he'll get the info but still feel rebellious since it's his own personal account. Very clever.
Interesting. Michael says, as a rebel, I suggest just calling this guy out. That's what my wife does to me when I miss something just because I don't want to. My friends are generally more polite and try to lead me to see the errors in my ways. Maybe try asking him if he got an email on an upcoming event, or ask if he thinks staying up to date on school events is important, or ask how he will inform his students on school events if he doesn't know. He might be relying on other teachers to keep him informed.
Sarah said, I wanted to offer another suggestion for how to deal with the coworker who doesn't read his emails. The truth is, he doesn't have to read his emails, and trying to persuade him otherwise might just provoke more resistance. Something I might try is asking him for his own ideas on how he could stay informed about school activities, since it's so important to the students. As a rebel myself, I appreciate it when people ask me for my input since it gives me a feeling of agency. Plus, when I have the chance to stop and think about it, I often decide on my own that the thing I was resisting is actually the best way forward after all. There's even a chance he'll think of a great idea that no one has considered before. Let's face it, we all get too many emails.
I think this is great. This is very simple, very direct. And like, yes, I mean, if there's a better solution that can help all of us. This is why the rebel tendency is often so helpful for everyone. We did hear from a rebel who was not happy about the fact that the listener who asked the original question speculated that her fellow teacher was a rebel. Suzanne says, the teacher who is unwilling to read school emails is simply unprofessional and narcissistic. To equate his unacceptable work behavior with the rebel tendency implies that rebels are incapable of being team players, caring about workplace outcomes, or performing well in traditional jobs. Although I would never attempt to speak for all rebels, I imagine a few others, like me, felt their sense of identity ignited during this portion of your latest podcast. As a rebel, I have managed to obtain a bachelor's in engineering, a master's in marketing while working full-time, and strong job reviews over 35 years working in the public and private sectors. Sure, I read my email whenever I feel like it, rather than in neat scheduled blocks, but I read and respond to all of it. Not doing so would and should cost me my job. Okay. What I would say is that the rebel tendency is very shaped by values. Yeah. And this rebel's values shine forth very, very clearly and strongly. But not everybody shares the same values. And I think sometimes people's behavior is shaped by the values that they're really trying to live up to.
Yeah, it's a very interesting point.
Very interesting point.
And finally, Anne says, I would recommend that the person sending the emails take a good long look at how they can make their emails more effective. Our daughter's school sends emails that are overly long and that bury the one important point in paragraphs of text. They use acronyms we don't understand, send details for grades our daughter isn't in, etc. I can barely get through them, and I'm a journalism major. Maybe he's not reading the emails because they're painful. Well, Gretch, I think we all agree that shorter emails are better emails.
Yes. Well, and it's also reframing. Maybe this isn't the problem of the reader. It's the problem of the sender. And so this is actually like a reminder that the email should be easier to read. So I thought that was a great way to say, let's step back and think about how we could tackle this a different way. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, rebels. It is always especially helpful to hear from a particular tendency when we're like when it's sort of a tendency related thing, because I think they do have unique insights.
Yes.
Okay. And that was listener answers. Now it's listener question. This question comes from Mary Jane.
She says, after working from home for a year, I'm going to be returning to the office in May or June. I'm a little nervous about it, and I want to make sure it's a positive experience. I thought I'd look at my return to the office as a clean slate and try to develop some new habits. For example, while at home, I started walking regularly. I tried to start the day with a 15 or 20 minute walk, and then I'd get up from my desk and go around the block two or three times a day. Have you or your listeners been thinking about the transition? I'd be interested to hear thoughts and suggestions.
Well, this is a great idea, and I think this is something people should really be aware of right now, because as everything is switching back and people are slowly starting to go back to more or less normal routines, we have an opportunity for the clean slate. And this is, we don't have this opportunity very often, so you really want to take advantage of it. Like Mary Jane is thinking about this, and that is just extremely important to do, to think about it, get ready for it, so you get the benefit of it. Because if you don't think about it in advance and you slip back into your old habits, then you lose the advantage of the clean slate.
Well, what is the clean slate exactly?
Okay. Well, in my book, Better Than Before, where I talk about the 21 strategies to make or break habits, the clean slate is one of the strategies. And the clean slate is when habits are disrupted, when you move, when you start a new job, when you start a new relationship, when you have a different route to work. Old habits are wiped away, and it's much easier for new habits to come in. So, for instance, when people are trying to quit smoking, what they found is that when you move to a new home is a great time to quit smoking because you don't have those associations built up. So something like this, for a year, you haven't been going to the vending machine. You haven't been buying a pastry at the donut shop, you know, on the first floor. Mm-hmm. And so you can think about, well, how do you want to organize your day when you go back? Just the way Mary Jane, and she's like, I have this new habit that I've had over the past year of how I want to exercise. So how can I concretely and realistically think about how do I plug that into my new set of habits as I return to work? And that's really smart because right at the beginning, it's going to be the easiest to lock those into place. So you want to start as you want to continue. So you've got to figure it out right away, hit the ground running.
Yeah. One thing, Gretchen, I think could be helpful is to involve other people.
Yes.
Like she mentioned wanting to walk every day. I think yes. If you email a coworker before you both go back and say, hey, do you want to start the habit of going for a walk at lunchtime? Likely the coworker will say, yes, that's a great idea. And since you've established you're going to do that, you'll start doing it day one.
Yeah. The key is really to think about it in advance because the clean slate is wiped away. But as you start going back, then your new habits are going to form. And so you really want to take advantage of it. If you want to read more about this, it's a whole chapter in my book, Better Than Before. And as I say, it is a very powerful strategy, but it's a fleeting strategy. And so you really do want to take advantage of it while you can by thinking about it in advance. So that's a great question, Mary Jane, for thinking about the clean slate.
Yes. Coming up, Gretchen has a mail-related demerit, but first this break. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Gretchen, when I started my career, therapy really helped me work through all of my stresses so that I was able to concentrate at work and do a good job.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GretchenRubin today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GretchenRubin.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half.
Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Okay, Gretch, it's time for demerits and gold stars, and you're up this week with a happiness demerit.
Yes. So Eliza's away at college and she just had a birthday and I did not send her a birthday package. I had ordered her a present, which I thought was going to get to her on time. It's going to get there late, but I sent an email like it's on its way. And, you know, she does not care that much. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, I really thought I would be a different kind of parent. I really imagined myself. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd be the kind of parent who like made cute little packages and mailed them off and filled them full of fun things. And you know, our mother sends her something like full of Halloween decorations or Valentine's Day gifts. And I've seen pictures like Eliza puts up all the decorations and she and her friends like eat all the heart-shaped candy. So it's not like she doesn't appreciate those things.
Right.
And I had a vision of myself as being the kind of person who would do that. And I guess I'm not. And, you know, I think it would have been nice. I think she would have appreciated it.
Well, Gretch, maybe it's related to the fact that you're an underbuyer. It's hard for you to be like, yes, let me buy these unnecessary Christmas decorations or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I do think that is true. Like, I'm always looking for an excuse, like, not to run errands and not to buy things. And I am kind of like, oh, does she really need this? Does she really want this? But, yeah, I don't know. It's one of these things where I'm like, huh. Well, I'm not acting the way I thought I would act. And maybe now that I've given myself a demerit, I'll think about doing it differently in the future.
Gretch, I have to say, I think also you talk to Eliza all the time. So
yeah.
I think if you didn't talk to her, you probably would send her things because you'd be thinking of her and want to make contact. But since you can talk to her multiple times a day, it feels like she's part of what's going on.
Yeah, I probably don't talk to her, but like we text as a family, like just like random little things. So yeah, I do feel much closer contact with her than I anticipated. So that's a good point. Maybe that is true. That's reassuring. Thank you. So what's your gold star? What's the gold star this week?
Okay, Gretchen, I have to give a gold star to my writing partner and co-host of Happier in Hollywood, Sarah.
Ah.
For just, I mean, her adventurous, fearless spirit.
Yes, she is adventurer.
She is. I mean, she first like packed a U-Haul and took her daughter, her stepmom, two dogs and two guinea pigs across the country to Minnesota for 8 months and weathered winter in Minnesota, which is, you know, negative 20 degrees where she was. And now she's decided to move to Ojai. She's like selling her house while we're in Puerto Rico and she's moving her whole life to Ojai. Which is not that far away. I mean, she could still commute into LA if she had to, but I mean, it's a big move.
Yes.
And I just admire her for just going for it.
Yeah.
And I have said to you, like, she would have been the best pioneer.
Yes. Yeah.
She is the person when you go, who would get in a covered wagon and just go, having no idea what lay ahead and like the hardships. Sarah would have been a great pioneer.
Yes. Yes. She has an intrepid spirit.
So I really admire it, and it's inspiring to me, even though I am not such a pioneer. It definitely, it shows me what you can do, you know, and makes, you know, again, with the choosing the bigger life, Sarah definitely always chooses the bigger life, and she encourages me to as well, even if I don't necessarily follow through.
Gold star to Sarah.
Yes.
The resources for this week. We talked about the four tendencies earlier in the episode. I have a lot of free resources related to the four tendencies on my website. If you go to GretchenRubin.com/resources and then scroll down to the section titled Four Tendencies, there's a flash evaluation if you want to see what someone else's tendency is without if they won't take the quiz. There's guides for how to think about the tendencies at work, with sweethearts, in healthcare situations, with children. They're all free. So if you want to learn a little bit more about the four tendencies without like getting into the whole book, you can check out those resources. Also, every week I send out an email with five things that are making me happier. Plus, I have links to new blog posts and lists and quotations and all kinds of updates. You can join the free weekly newsletter at GretchenRubin.com/newsletter. And now what we're reading. Elizabeth, what are you reading?
Gretch, I just started A Tale for the Time Being by Ruth Ozeki.
Oh, I love that book. I cannot wait to talk about that book. And I am reading Witchmark by C.L. Polk.
More reading for everyone.
Yes, always. And that is it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Ask yourself when you're considering an object in your home, do I use it? Do I need it? Do I love it? Let us know if you tried this test and if it worked for you.
Thank you to our executive producer, Chuck Reed, and everyone at Cadence 13. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@GretchenRubin.com.
And if you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. And so many people have recommended us to six people. I have mailed out so many gold stars. I just mailed a huge batch, so if yours have not arrived yet, they're on their way. We so appreciate word of mouth. Thank you, listeners.
Thank you. And if you've recommended us to six people and you'd like your sheet of gold stars, go to the show notes for episode 319, and you will see how you can get them.
Yes, it's on our system, but we so appreciate that word of mouth.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward. So, Elizabeth, have you made a packing list? We've talked about packing lists so much, and you have a lot of packing to do.
I actually do have a packing list for the first time in my life. I think it's helping me feel more in control.
Aren't you kind of going indefinitely?
Yes.
High stakes.
High stakes.
From the Onward Project.
Gretch, I know from my own experience that baby making is not always simple. there is a lack of knowledge surrounding how to get pregnant. And when you want to conceive, there can be a lack of understanding and resources. Frida Fertility is the only one-stop shop that makes it easier to make a baby with a set of solutions for everything from reproductive health to ovulation tracking to conception aid.
Frida is simplifying the journey to parenthood with products that help you go from trying to making a baby. Frida products are innovative, easy to use, and accessible, from ovulation prediction to at-home insemination kits. This is baby making simplified. Find Frida Fertility on Amazon, at Target, and select CVS stores near you. That's Frida Fertility, F-R-I-D-A, Frida Fertility.